just gets the blood pumping. Lions back on the practice field today. Down at Allen Park. For real, John. For real. You're going to be there on Saturday. We're going to be out there as a show all next week. Today's the day. Today is the day. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Greg behind the glass this morning. Tom is off this week. John, tell me what it's like the first day going back to practice.
Oh, you're getting me all fired up. So I usually, before I was working here, this is one of the days that I dread as a former player, because I don't get a seat at the table anymore. I don't get to go to the party, and that's exactly what today is like. Now, there's some angst, there's some anxiety about, you know, you're not going to see your family for about another 6 months. Yeah, you know, we saw the receiver show, we saw the QB show. You'll see them, but they take a major back seat to what you are doing. But especially now, there's only 10 days that these players have together as a team in the offseason. Now, some of them for conditioning will see each other, but it's a brief moment of the day. It's not all day long. This is the day where you turn 8 years old again, because you're going to go back to play a game. You're going to get paid big money to play a kid's game, and it's a reunion with all your best friends. This is it was so much fun. And yeah, there are some guys that you're not going to love every day at training camp. There's no more two-a-days. There's really not much to not like anymore. There's still going to be some headaches and, you know, hot, getting used to the helmet, all that stuff. But this is the day where you're going to play a kid's game with your buddies. You're getting paid for it. And this is what your life is like for the next 7 months. Does it get any better than that? And today's when it starts for the Lions.
Today's the day. We're going to have camp storylines coming up at 6:35. I love that you basically just said, hey, if you're a vet complaining right now, you don't realize what it was like. You got no room to complain.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to pull out, well, back and I when I played.
We're uphill both ways.
They don't have two-a-days anymore. And I agree with the rules.
Yeah.
I think that the progress that the NFL has made, the NFLPA, I think it's great. And we haven't seen a whole lot of drop off in skill and talent. Guys are getting their work in. They're being professionals. They're doing what they've got to do to master their craft. And I can, from a lineman's perspective, this is, and maybe it's different at each position.
Right.
But your offensive line is such a tight unit. It is such a great group of guys that it really is. You know, it's the guys that you would go drink into the bar with, which will happen. It's the guys that you're going to hang out with and remember and have relationships the rest of your life. And you get to go play a kid's game doing it. It's unbelievable.
We've been waiting for this day since the last day of the season.
This is the start.
The beginning.
The 2024 Super Bowl champs have taken the field.
And he's saying that, and I'm not going to fight him. Do you realize what a crazy statement that is, John?
What a world we live in.
First of all,
these days,
I love to argue and fight about everything. But beyond that, we can't even. This is legitimate. The Lions step into the season out from the darkness and into the light as a bona fide Super Bowl contender, as a team that has every ability to win the whole thing. And it all begins today. Today. We'll be out all next week. We'll get to see it firsthand. I can't wait to hear some of your observations from Saturday. That's the first opportunity for the public even to take a peek. And you heard in Filar's update, that's for the season ticket holders too.
Yeah, season ticket holders. Or if you got to know someone. No, you got to know someone. I happen to be related to someone who gets that special invite. That's Ruby, because she's going as a representative for her flag football team.
See, I thought you were going because you were pulling the, I played in the league, Dan and are buddies, no, you know.
May go down this week, but no. that's the day. I'm not me. I am Ruby Jansen's dad. Just standing there, and I can't wait to see her be a part of this. She's always been a part of it because she was alive. She doesn't remember a whole lot from when I played, which kind of makes me sad. But this is now my chance to watch her be a little bit of a part of something that I did in my way passed.
Ruby Jansen's dad, who just happens to be 6'7" and also played in the NFL.
Right. Knows his way around a blocking sled, and this is not a foreign environment for him. No, not at all. Okay, so here's the game plan. We're going to go into Lions camp storylines at 6:35 this morning, and we've got some curated things that you and I are both buzzing about today with the Lions back out at practice. 7:02, Scooble, updated story with odds, quotes, and a trade proposal for the Tigers to consider.
Okay.
John, as we get into the show, though, I need to share that I almost had a terrible start to the day.
You know what? You put this on the rundown. It wasn't in your prep last night, obviously, because your day hadn't started yet. And I'm very curious as to what almost happened to Cookies this morning.
So, it could have been terrible. It clearly is not. I'm here.
You avoided disaster.
Yeah. So I'm in the car.
You forgot to plug in the car.
No. after driving Ann Arbor yesterday, I got in the car.
And had to ride his bike to work.
I hit a pothole, and it was one of those where
it's hard. It's tough in a golf cart.
I know, in a golf cart especially. You don't know if you're going to be okay. And I immediately look at the tire sensor. Yeah, I had to climb out, push the car out. Yeah. Someone help me.
Can I get a pole? It's snowing now. Pothole.
But I don't remember it being there, right? You make the same drive every day, and it was one of those no doubters. Ka-kunk, ka-kunk. Oh no.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a flat tire situation? And I'm thinking, what do I do in that? Like, I know my old car, I had the spare tire. I don't even know if this golf cart has a spare. Do I Uber? Can you Uber in at 5 a.m? Are people driving Uber?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, you can Uber. Yeah.
You could Uber in, but then I just leave the car there and.
Well, you have to take care of the car.
Right, no, exactly.
You wouldn't want to leave it there.
Right.
You can leave it there and call your wife.
She is out of town.
Oh,
so what do I do?
Yeah, because you're not a welcoming individual because you don't want people stopping by. You don't share your bolognese. Even later today, we're going to find out how much you don't want people to touch your things. So I can only imagine the angst that you would have in the fact that, who do I call?
Like, I can change a tire. I don't know that thing has a spare. I don't know that it has the jack. Like, I haven't experienced it with this car.
But all you got to do on that thing is just lift it up, right?
With one hand and then the other one.
It's not even nuts and bolts, right? It just kind of, it clicks together like Legos.
Do I call you and have you tow me in? Is that what I would do with that?
I could come and actually... You know, change your tire. Or I could just put it in the back of my truck. Right.
Or you have the compressor. Could I get enough air in it to then...
Yes, you could.
Get it where it needs to get. Anyway, it didn't seem like it was an issue. The tire sensor held the whole drive in.
See what it's like when you go out to your car later. Yeah, that's when you're going to have the issue. Uh-huh.
I'm in a big hurry. Sorry.
So this is what I tell you. I may need a ride home today, John.
You know what's actually find more annoying than the pothole that you didn't know was there? It was the pothole that you know is there, but you forget
it. And you hit
it
anyway.
And then it's... there's that pothole again.
Yep.
Like there was one that was on Telegraph Road going north. I think it was south of 96. Is in the far left lane that I kept hitting for like 3 straight days, and I
or
forgot
if
it was there until it was too late.
If you're in the passenger seat, we had this last night. Last night we went over to Kent Lake, the park there, and on the way home, Lisa was driving. I was doing some work in the side chair, and I told her, I'm like, let's go home a more fun way. And she always kind of raises an eyebrow when I say, let's go a more fun way. Because when you leave Kent Lake there, you could take a number of dirt roads. So I send her down some of the dirt roads. And this is just as the storm last night is approaching. And we got, a couple miles into it. And she was not thinking it was as much fun. But there is, on the dirt roads, right? There's the washboard. And then there's the divots. And there's actual craters that you come upon. And I saw one coming. Literally from, quarter mile away. I'm like, surely she's going to see this. If we get closer, she's not, and nobody else is coming.
It
hits it square on.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there going, turn, move. And then I do this side chair right where I brace myself because I know something bad's going to happen. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, pothole. Boom.
You almost have to apologize to your car. You're like, sorry. I shouldn't have done that. So that would have made for a pretty rough start to the day.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, guys, I don't know if I'm going to make it in.
You
might need a lift.
Averted disaster.
And I'm here. I'm here.
Not enough weight in that car to actually push down on the tire to puncture it.
Well, as Heather says, we'll find out at the end of the show today.
Yeah, you just kind of floated over the top of it.
Just kind of
you went Dukes
glide.
Of Hazzard style. Yeah.
There you go. All right. We do need to talk about the Tigers. Speaking about, terrible. The game yesterday.
What?
The game yesterday, John. Not the team.
Okay.
Hold on.
I mean, like, just let the slow on. Hey, your hold on, roll. Hold
on. I'll play the drop. Hang on.
Slow your roll.
I'm not saying they're terrible.
Because yesterday we were talking about possibly not selling, not you know, moving on from Flaherty, but extending him and trying to make a press on this. You can't just go from that to terrible Tigers.
They are not terrible. They're below 500, which isn't very good. But the story of yesterday was a languishing loss. Who the F is Bly Madris? We'll talk about that in the 10-man bullpen. What are they doing? It's 97-1. And we'll tell you about Moran Chevrolet as you slide into the summer the easy way with Moran Chevrolet. GM employees and immediate family members, listen up. You can lease a 2024 Blazer EV all-wheel drive starting at just $344 a month. That's with $999 down. Moran has shipments arriving daily. They're going to have what you're looking for. You can pick up your new ride at the dealership. You're used to doing that. Or Moran Chevrolet, they'll hook it up. They'll deliver it directly to your door if that's what you choose. Only at Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Search. If you're looking for a car, go to MoranExpress.com. Stop by in store on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. It's Moran Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive. Go ahead, home run. Bunch of home runs for the Guardians. They beat the Tigers. Who the F is Bly Madris? Greg, you thought this was like a typo in my email today.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it.
This is a Major League Baseball player who was at the plate with the tying run in scoring position last night for the Tigers. He is up in place of Valade, who also, yeah. Who's Valade? I mean, these guys aren't major leaguers.
Well, it's the cup of coffee that, and I think we're going to see this throughout the rest of the year, the cup of coffee that guys will have with the big league team when, you know, 15 years down the road and somebody says, yeah, I actually made the big leagues. I played for 10 days with the Detroit Tigers. It was, who was it at the beginning of the year? Buddy Kennedy? Was that his name?
He's not even in the organization anymore.
At least he had a name that was easy to remember or spell.
Let's go to Buddy in Monroe.
Yeah. I played with the Tigers back in 24.
Okay, sure, Grandpa.
Yeah.
That meme.
Uh-huh.
He is a 166 career hitter. In fairness to him, only 145 at-bats. So, you know, still need, 1,500 at-bats to find out what you really are as a major league.
0-for-2 with two strikeouts. And again, he's at the plate with the tying run in scoring position in the eighth inning. And Riley Green's on the bench.
Was it soreness in his hip or his back?
Yeah, and I think Riley's going to DH today.
Yeah. It's precautionary.
They didn't want him in the field. It's precautionary. I don't know why he doesn't step up and swing in place of Bly Madris. And then you can sub him out of the game. You could put Baez in, reshuffle the infield around. Because Madris is at first. You could put Gio over to first. You could then put McKinstry to third, Baez to short as a defensive sub in the ninth, assuming you even get to a place where the game continues.
Well, here's why you don't put Riley Green in. If you've learned anything from the receiver show, do you play Amon-Ra St. Brown this week, knowing that it could be 6 weeks after this, or do we set him out 1 week, knowing that, hey, he could heal up enough and then be here the rest of the season? For Riley Green, they probably made that determination. Hey, under no certain circumstances are we putting Riley Green in today to pinch run, to pinch hit for just one pitch, one opportunity.
They wanted
in the
a
outfield.
True off day. And yeah. I understand AJ's options beyond that are limited. You're not pinch hitting Javi Baez, right?
And he has been the DH before, which is
perplexing.
A conundrum.
And then you could do your other catcher as your pinch hitter, but then you don't have any backup catcher at all at that point, and then you got to resurface and reshuffle the infield. I suppose they could have done that and gotten real cute about it. It's also just painfully obvious that that's where Torkelson would be if he wasn't in AAA striking out a lot. So it was a languishing loss. There's your word languish.
Yeah.
To wither and waste away. It's a wasted opportunity last night to take another game in this, if we're calling it a wild card race. It's a wasted opportunity. And then I look down at the reality of the game, and it's five different arms. It's a 10-man bullpen. John, how long are they going to do this 10-man thing? Like, are they going to go back to the bullpen Thursday? They do need to add an arm, whether it's calling up Job or someone from AAA, or Paxton was just put on waivers from the Dodgers, or a warm body from the stands. They're going to need to do something. They can't run a 10-man bullpen for a week, 2 weeks, or more. And then that doesn't even factor in what happens if they trade away somebody at the deadline.
I'm as excited as anyone to see Jackson Job. This is one where you've got to trust, whether it's Scott Harris, whether it's A.J. Hinch, whoever the baseball minds are and the baseball evaluators, we don't want to bring him up too soon and, one, ruin his confidence. Because, you know, as a competitor, if they said, hey, you think you're ready?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I just don't want him to be moved up too quick, because I think there's great potential. Most people believe there's great potential there. I just don't want him to come up too early. And maybe he comes up and does what Skeens has done.
Skeens is only 2 months older. Now, did pitch in college, and that's right. The counterpoint.
There is that possibility. He could be that type of pitcher, and he could have that type of debut, but there's also he could get rocked in his first outing, and then you ruin his confidence. How does he recover? Does it take another, you know, is it next year again?
It goes back to this S word, serious, right? This season has not been one where they're seriously in contention. They didn't plan to seriously be in contention. You don't need to rush a young player up if you're not actually in the race. If they were, they'd have a couple more bats. They might be more aggressive with some call-ups. They are not. So I don't anticipate Joe. But I just point out the 10-man bullpen is... It's not unheard of, but it's incredibly rare. And I was listening to Dickerson a little bit yesterday. He goes, most are 8. Some will have 9. The Tigers have 10 guys in the bullpen right now. And I guess one answer would be Maeda to the rotation, but even he kind of bristled when he was talking about it. He goes, well, he got hit up by the Guardians the last time he was in the rotation. So yeah. I get it. There's not a lot of good options, but that felt like kind of a languishing loss for the Tigers.
Especially with the fact that they had won 3 of 4 coming out of the break. And this is one where they were down 5-2 at one point, yep. And they started to make a comeback. You're like, okay, this is the next... The little magic, they're on their run. They came up a little bit short. It was disappointing, but I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, hey, it changes a whole lot of the conversation from where we were yesterday, because we did. You mentioned it. Hey, if they were to trade Flaherty and Olsen's out, Mize is out, there's not a lot of arms to fill the rotation. What do they do?
Right. Couple ticket texts coming in. 248-539-9797. This one says, all the things you just mentioned, exactly why this team is not in a race. They're not a complete team. Sell, 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 sell. Dave in Algonac. Couple on what we talked about to start the show. John, you do realize most EV cars weigh more than a normal car. Those batteries are heavy. Do your research. From John in Shelby.
Meh.
This one says, it's nothing to do with EVs. Cars nowadays don't come with spare tires anymore. Everyone's trying to save on weight to advertise better gas efficiency. That's from Adam in Brighton. And a ticket texter says, it's Big Ten media days. You'd think the radio station that plays the national champs would talk about them once in a while. It's okay to not talk Lions 24/7 and actually mix it up. Can you believe we got that ticket text?
No. I mean, yes, I can. But we have not talked a lot about the Detroit Lions. There really hasn't, for the last month, been a lot of storylines. We even talked about a drama-free offseason where we see guys sitting out. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, where we see guys that are in contract disputes. The Lions took care of all their business, which left us very little to talk about. We're talking about backup quarterbacks. We're talking about kickers. We're discussing those type of things, which are a snooze fest.
Mm-hmm.
But where were we yesterday? Who did we have on the show?
We had Sharon
yesterday.
Moron. We literally talked about the national champs yesterday.
We had Kirk Campbell on yesterday, the offensive coordinator. Like, we had two Wolverine coaches on the show. We were out. We were on campus talking about Michigan football. I thought we were going to get more of the texts of more Blue Wall Radio.
Well, we got some of those yesterday.
Well, I'm sure we did, but... To wake up this morning, I just didn't expect to hear that
text.
Well,
so this is, rather than me being mad at this ticket texter, I'm going to just rationalize that people don't listen every single day.
Yeah.
I can use it as a way to cross promote the Odyssey app and the rewind feature and the podcasts and all that stuff.
Yep.
So, okay, but we've been talking Michigan football, and we're excited to talk Lions football coming up at 6:35. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, following the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle has resigned. So Cheadle, who has served as the Secret Service Director since August of 2022, had been facing these growing calls to resign and several investigations into how that shooter was able to get where he was and get so close to Trump at that outdoor rally in Pennsylvania. In an email to staff on Tuesday, Cheadle said that she takes full responsibility for the security lapse. And she says, in light of recent events, it is with a heavy heart that I have made the difficult decision to step down as your director. Her resignation comes a day after she did appear before a congressional committee and was questioned by both Democrats and Republicans about security failures.
I think we talked about this a little off air. Like, if you were that person, I think you'd probably want to resign.
Because right after it happened, she was very adamant that she was not going to be resigning, right? Like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Yes.
She was, I don't forget what the question was, but she adamantly said, there's nobody better to lead this organization than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and all right, taking out the, I'm going to try and be somewhat human in this because it was awful. She did the right thing by finally stepping down. She does have a lot of connections to Michigan, the state of Michigan. She got her career started in Detroit. She was in Grand Rapids. She's worked her way up. This has been her entire life to get to this point, and it didn't go well.
It did not. A driver had to be taken to the hospital on Tuesday afternoon after driving into Lake St. Clair. So it happened at the Lakefront Park, not far from 9 Mile Road. Thankfully, a man who says he doesn't want any recognition saw it all go down and immediately jumped in the water to help. Pretty crazy, because if this person had not seen or heard it and jumped into action, there was another person that also helped. It might have had a different outcome, right? Because it sounds like she's going to be okay. It's unclear what led to the woman driving her car into the water in the first place. But because they got her out so quickly, she is expected to be okay. They said it was pretty scary because she started saying that there was somebody else in the car as well. Yeah,
what?
It sounds like she was suffering maybe a mental
episode.
But thankfully, there was nobody else in there, and this woman was rescued. So pretty scary.
Yeah.
And pretty brave.
Yes.
To just jump into action have to go underwater and pull somebody out of their car.
You're a hero.
Yeah.
Heather with the news. Lions, training camp storylines. They're back today. It's 97.1.
Hey, Lions are in camp. Football's rocking and rolling across the country. Why not schedule a time to dive into the best pool in history? Let's stadium swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans, especially all you football fans. Chill in one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen, that's Stadium Swim, and it's America's favorite place to watch all your sporting events. And I'm going to tell you at the end of this how to make a reservation, because you want to be there, whether it's a fall Saturday, Sunday, Monday night, Thursday night. We got a lot of opportunities. They've got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Same. Today, Lions out at the practice field. Football in the air. We've got training camp storylines to get to. Greg, take it away.
Let's start. We got six camp storylines for your Detroit Lions. Let's start. Number one, is J-Mo going to fill the shoes of wide receiver 2? And who's going to be wide receiver 3?
He's absolutely going to have to step up and be wide receiver 2. Amon-Ra St. Brown is always going to be, wide receiver 1. You've got Sam Laporta, and you could argue that he's going to be wide receiver two, but he's a tight end. He doesn't have that WR in front of his position group. So who is going to be the next guy at that position to fill the void left by Josh Reynolds? It has to be Jameson Williams. You went and you got him at number 12 as a first-round pick. Just for him as a player, at a minimum, he needs to be number two. And you can use him in a number of different ways. We saw in the NFC Championship game in the reverse. Like, his speed is something that is unique in the NFL. In a game that is built on speed, he can be that guy. Now it's about the reliability. Can he be a pass catcher? Can Jared Goff get him the ball? And then number three, I think it's going to have to be DPJ. They didn't go out and bring anybody else in. They thought, hey, this is who we are. This is what we have. You still have Antoine Green. You've got Khalif Raymond. But I think in terms of production, it's going to need to be DPJ.
Last year's leading receiver was Amon-Ra St. Brown with 119 catches. Sam Laporta second with 86. Jahmyr Gibbs third with 52. There wasn't this giant need at the position. I think they were right to stick with J-Mo and expect a big year out of him. He was having a great NFC title game. I think he's poised to have a big year for Detroit. They got to bet on their guy first. He will be wide receiver two,
right,
but maybe target three or four in, sure, this offense, which makes it so he doesn't have to be
the pressure
all
is still
pro.
Not there. The only, yes, pressure is the fact that he was a first round pick and you're not getting great production out of him.
But they're giving him the runway to step into it, and we know he can fly. To answer the question, who's wide receiver number three? Yeah, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones. They said that they like this group. I'm going to take them at their word.
Will Hendon Hooker show enough to be QB2?
They're going to give him a lot of reps. I have to think so. He's going to get a ton of reps in training camp. He should play the majority of the preseason. This is the time to make up for lost time. I think he'll be QB2. It makes me a little nervous, given the expectations of the season, that you have a guy who's never played in the NFL as your backup quarterback. But, John, this gives the Lions something they haven't had in years, a developmental option at the position.
Yeah, and here's the other reason why he certainly is QB2. We've seen the only other quarterback on the roster right now, at least of note, is Nate Sudfeld.
Who's coming off an injury.
Right, he's coming off an injury. We saw the only reason he was still on the roster last year was because he did get hurt.
The timing of it, yeah.
Yeah, and so we saw what you get in Nate Sudfeld. Hendon Hooker, you spent a third-round pick on him. This is the opportunity for him to get practice reps. It's an opportunity to get game reps in the preseason to get himself ready. No one wants to go to their backup quarterback, but if they have to, it's going to be Hendon Hooker.
All right, who will win the kicking competition? Reminder, James Turner now out. Jake Bates was signed by the Lions, so that's kind of where we are at here. Michael Badgley is on the team as well.
And Jake Bates has a very strong leg. We've heard about the 60-plus yarders that he made in the UFL. But I find it very hard to believe, especially knowing special teams coaches. Dave Phipp. These guys like to know exactly what they have. And whether it doesn't always have to be positive. They know exactly what they're getting in Michael Badgley. There's still this great unknown about Jake Bates because other than his kicks in the UFL, he didn't have any. He hasn't had any in the NFL. He didn't have any in college. He's a great kickoff guy. And maybe that, are they going to carry two kickers because they want an extra guy for this new kickoff rule? I think that's silly. A stretch at best.
Yeah, it's silly. They didn't carry a kicker last season. Right. They used practice squad elevations to get a kicker for game day, and it was Patterson, and then it was Badgley. It's clearly been a position that they've been looking to improve. The fact that Bates got a two-year deal, and I know you can still cut the guy, but they were serious about bringing him into the fold. He missed one kick from less than 50 yards, and then we know about the leg. I'm going to go with Bates.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It makes you nervous.
Oh, it makes you unbelievably nervous.
Let's address the defensive secondary. Who plays where and what impact will the rookies have?
Yeah, the question is how many of these corners start? And I think the guy we keep forgetting about is Amik Robertson, who I think will get the nod early so they don't have to throw two young corners into the fire. You would think Terrion Arnold, being the first-round guy, would start opposite Carlton Davis, and then Robertson is in the slot. It frees up Branch to be this extra defensive back. They've talked about him playing some safety. That's how I envision it. But Rakestraw's going to play. I mean, you draft a guy in the second round. I think what's more important isn't who starts week one. It's who starts week 19, the playoffs. And I think there's a chance that you see both Rakestraw and Arnold playing, starting at that point in the season.
Yeah, Carlton Davis, he's CB1. I think Kirby Joseph is going to be your free safety. I think Brian Branch is probably going to be your strong safety when he gets healthy. But they're also going to start the season and most games with five defensive backs.
Yep.
That leaves that, you know, and I think Terrion Arnold is one of them. Then it really comes down to Amik Robertson or Ennis Rakestraw. Who is going to be that extra defensive back that they're playing in that basic standard now nickel package? And here's what I like about Amik Robertson. He came in. Everything that you hear from him is that he is an absolute competitor. Everything you hear about him coming from the Raiders, they did not want to lose him. This, I think, is going to be a sneaky good pickup. And I think Amik Robertson has a coming out season.
The other thing, too, is the Lions want to play a lot of man-to-man defense. Yep. They got guys who embrace the one-on-one aspect. John, they might play matchups, though. Depending on the other team's receiver, Robertson might be the better option as compared to Rakestraw, but they could tailor it to those. It's like almost basketball, one-on-one. How do you get the guy who's the defensive stopper for the guy you're trying to shut down? I think that's going to be part of the chess game for Aaron Glenn this season.
Would definitely expect a Dan Campbell team to play man-to-man defense.
Man.
The question we've been asking for months now, maybe a year plus, who plays opposite Hutch?
So this one is really tough to fill in the blank because here are your options in first down situations. You got Marcus Davenport, who they went and signed on a one-year prove-it deal. You've got John Kaminsky. You've got Josh Pascal. Honestly, I don't trust that Marcus Davenport can stay healthy. That's the ideal situation, and he is the guy that could absolutely have a breakout season if, and it's a capital I, capital F, if he can stay healthy. I think it's going to be John Kaminsky that probably starts at that position. And then when you have, you know, Aaron Glenn and the fact that he likes to blitz, likes to change things up, James Houston will be there in pass rush downs. Maybe we see a little bit of Davenport, but I think Josh Pascal, this is a year where he has to show up, has to be a part of the equation.
When we first started doing this show in February, I would have loved to have answered this question, Danielle Hunter.
Oh, sure.
I think some people...
Insert anybody else's name.
Right. Or even a trade for a Matthew Judon. I don't think the Lions are going to make those kind of moves. They're going to roll with this group of, I guess, a bullpen's worth of pass rushers. I think Houston has the highest upside, so I'll go James Houston.
And our final topic today, who is your breakout candidate?
So there's a few guys I'm looking at on the defensive line for the Lions. I think it's kind of a put up or shut up year for some Holmes D linemen, whether that's Onzerike or Josh Pascal. Those are camp bodies I want to see take a step because it's now or never. But the breakout guy for me is Aleem McNeil. I think there's another gear of Aleem McNeil's game that we're going to see in a contract season with Reader healthy up the middle next to him. I think it frees him up to put up better sack numbers, pressure numbers, and become that dominant interior defensive lineman.
If he is that guy, I think the question that we had previously, whether it's Davenport, Kaminsky, Pascal, Houston, it makes all of them better because DJ Reader will be an upgrade. Aleem McNeil, if he has that breakout contract season, will be better. Aiden Hutchinson, I expect to be better, which puts less pressure on whoever that is. But and I think that's a great pick. I'm going to go with Jack Campbell. Now, there's a lot of people that didn't think he had a great rookie season. I thought it was much better than most people are talking about. In year two at the middle linebacker position, or linebacker position, because I know he's going to be sharing time in there or playing next to Anzalone, I think we see all that athletic ability that we heard about in the draft, at the combine. He's tall. I saw him play at Iowa a couple of times, and he was an absolute force. He's a smart, heady player. I think he makes the adjustments. I think he adjusts to the speed of the NFL. They use him as a pass rusher. They use him covering running backs out of the backfield. This is a guy that I think is going to pay off big and have a big-time year.
This was not a guy who was existing because of effort alone, although he has great effort and instincts. He was a plus athlete when he came out of the draft, and I think you're right, second season. That's Doug Karsh's guy, too.
Yeah.
You guys are big on Jack Campbell, breakout second season.
Yeah, you got to love those Iowa guys.
Listen.
Who can't argue with Laporta? And if Campbell can be even close to what he was at Laporta as a rookie, it's going to be fun to watch.
Hey, they're tough football players at Iowa. All right, did we miss any key storylines? Which one is the most interesting to you? J-Mo, Hendon Hooker, kicker competition. defensive secondary, pass rush, and your breakout candidate. You can answer any of them. Tell us what we missed. Lions back at training camp today. Football returns. It's 97.1.
Hey, looking for ways to level up your fitness? Well, you can join the YMCA with no contract and no joiner fees and for just $3 a day. I'm loving all the YMCA has to offer, including access to indoor pools, Les Mills group fitness, hundreds of machines, discounts on personal training, which I'm taking full advantage of now, all with free child watch while you work out. And now you can go and try the Y for free. Visit any of the 7 Metro Detroit locations and get a free guest pass. Learn more at ymcadetroit.org and find your Y today.
As the Lions get set to begin... Same. Today, Lions out at the practice field. Football in the air. We've got training camp storylines to get to. Greg, take it away.
Let's start. We got 6 camp storylines for your Detroit Lions. Let's start. Number 1, is J-Mo going to fill the shoes of wide receiver 2? And who's going to be wide receiver 3?
He's absolutely going to have to step up and be wide receiver 2. Amon-Ra St. Brown is always going to be, you know, wide receiver 1. You've got Sam Laporta, and you could argue that he's going to be wide receiver 2, but he's a tight end. He doesn't have that WR in front of his position group. So who is going to be the next guy at that position to fill the void left by Josh Reynolds? It has to be Jameson Williams. You went and you got him at number 12 as a first-round pick. Just for him as a player, at a minimum, he needs to be number 2. And you can use him in a number of different ways. We saw in the NFC Championship game in the reverse. Like, his speed is something that is unique in the NFL. In a game that is built on speed, he can be that guy. Now it's about the reliability. Can he be a pass catcher? Can Jared Goff get him the ball? And then number 3, I think it's going to have to be DPJ. They didn't go out and bring anybody else in. They thought, hey, this is who we are. This is what we have. You still have Antoine Green. You've got Khalif Raymond. But I think in terms of production, it's going to need to be DPJ.
Last year's leading receiver was Amon-Ra St. Brown with 119 catches. Sam Laporta second with 86. Jahmyr Gibbs third with 52. There wasn't this giant need at the position. I think they were right to stick with J-Mo and expect a big year out of him. He was having a great NFC title game. I think he's poised to have a big year for Detroit. They got to bet on their guy first. He will be wide receiver 2,
right,
but maybe target 3 or 4 in, sure, this offense, which makes it so he doesn't have to be
the pressure
all
is still
pro.
Not there. The only, yes, pressure is the fact that he was a first round pick and you're not getting great production out of him.
But they're giving him the runway to step into it, and we know he can fly. To answer the question, who's wide receiver number 3? Yeah, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones. They said that they like this group. I'm going to take them at their word.
Will Hendon Hooker show enough to be QB2?
They're going to give him a lot of reps. I have to think so. He's going to get a ton of reps in training camp. He should play the majority of the preseason. This is the time to make up for lost time. I think he'll be QB2. It makes me a little nervous, given the expectations of the season, that you have a guy who's never played in the NFL as your backup quarterback. But, John, this gives the Lions something they haven't had in years, a developmental option at the position.
Yeah, and here's the other reason why he certainly is QB2. We've seen the only other quarterback on the roster right now, at least of note, is Nate Sudfeld,
who's coming off an injury.
Right, he's coming off an injury. We saw the only reason he was still on the roster last year was because he did get hurt.
The timing of it, yeah.
Yeah, and so we saw what you get in Nate Sudfeld. Hendon Hooker, you spent a third round pick on him. This is the opportunity for him to get practice reps. It's an opportunity to get game reps in the preseason to get himself ready. No one wants to go to their backup quarterback, but if they have to, it's going to be Hendon Hooker.
All right, who will win the kicking competition? Reminder, James Turner now out. Jake Bates was signed by the Lions, so that's kind of where we are at here. Michael Badgley is on the team as well.
And Jake Bates has a very strong leg. We've heard about the 60-plus yarders that he made in the UFL. But I find it very hard to believe, especially knowing special teams coaches. Dave Phipp. These guys like to know exactly what they have. And whether it doesn't always have to be positive. They know exactly what they're getting in Michael Badgley. There's still this great unknown about Jake Bates because other than his kicks in the UFL, he didn't have any. He hasn't had any in the NFL. He didn't have any in college. He's a great kickoff guy. And maybe that, are they going to carry two kickers because they want an extra guy for this new kickoff rule? I think that's silly. A stretch at best.
Yeah, it's silly. They didn't carry a kicker last season. Right. They used practice squad elevations to get a kicker for game day, and it was Patterson, and then it was Badgley. It's clearly been a position that they've been looking to improve. The fact that Bates got a two-year deal, and I know you can still cut the guy, but they were serious about bringing him into the fold. He missed one kick from less than 50 yards, and then we know about the leg. I'm going to go with Bates.
Oh, wow. Wow. It
makes you nervous.
Oh, it makes you unbelievably nervous.
Let's address the defensive secondary. Who plays where, and what impact will the rookies have?
Yeah, the question is how many of these corners start, and I think the guy we keep forgetting about is Amik Robertson. Mm-hmm. Who I think will get the nod early so they don't have to throw two young corners into the fire. You would think Terrion Arnold, being the first-round guy, would start opposite Carlton Davis, and then Robertson is in the slot. It frees up Branch to be this extra defensive back. They've talked about him playing some safety. That's how I envision it, but Rakestraw's going to play. I mean, you draft a guy in the second round. I think what's more important isn't who starts week one. It's who starts week 19, the playoffs. And I think there's a chance that you see both Rakestraw and Arnold playing, starting at that point in the season.
Yeah, Carlton Davis, he's CB1. I think Kirby Joseph is going to be your free safety. I think Brian Branch is probably going to be your strong safety when he gets healthy. But they're also going to start the season and most games with five defensive backs.
Yep.
That leaves that, you know, and I think Terrion Arnold is one of them. Then it really comes down to Amik Robertson or Ennis Rakestraw. Who is going to be that extra defensive back that they're playing in that basic standard now nickel package? And here's what I like about Amik Robertson. He came in, everything that you hear from him is that he is an absolute competitor. Everything you hear about him coming from the Raiders, they did not want to lose him. This, I think, is going to be a sneaky good pickup. And I think Amik Robertson has a coming out season.
The other thing, too, is the Lions want to play a lot of man-to-man defense. Yep. They got guys who embrace the one-on-one aspect. John, they might play matchups, though. Depending on the other team's receiver, Robertson might be the better option as compared to Rakestraw, but they could tailor it to those. It's like almost basketball, one-on-one. How do you get the guy who's the defensive stopper for the guy you're trying to shut down? I think that's going to be part of the chess game for Aaron Glenn this season.
Would definitely expect a Dan Campbell team to play man-to-man defense.
Man.
The question we've been asking for months now, maybe a year plus, who plays opposite Hutch?
So this one is really tough to fill in the blank because here are your options in first down situations. You got Marcus Davenport, who they went and signed on a one-year prove-it deal. You've got John Kaminsky. You've got Josh Pascal. Honestly, I don't trust that Marcus Davenport can stay healthy. That's the ideal situation, and he is the guy that could absolutely have a breakout season if, and it's a capital I, capital F, if he can stay healthy. I think it's going to be John Kaminsky that probably starts at that position. And then when you have, you know, Aaron Glenn and the fact that he likes to blitz, likes to change things up, James Houston will be there in pass rush downs. Maybe we see a little bit of Davenport, but I think Josh Pascal, this is a year where he has to show up, has to be a part of the equation.
When we first started doing this show in February, I would have loved to have answered this question, Danielle Hunter.
Oh, sure.
I think some people...
Insert anybody else's name.
Right. Or even a trade for a Matthew Judon. I don't think the Lions are going to make those kind of moves. They're going to roll with this group of, I guess, a bullpen's worth of pass rushers. I think Houston has the highest upside, so I'll go James Houston.
And our final topic today, who is your breakout candidate?
So there's a few guys I'm looking at on the defensive line for the Lions. I think it's kind of a put up or shut up year for some Holmes D linemen, whether that's Onzerike or Josh Pascal. Those are camp bodies I want to see take a step because it's now or never. But the breakout guy for me is Aleem McNeil. I think there's another gear of Aleem McNeil's game that we're going to see in a contract season.
Yep.
With Reader healthy up the middle next to him. I think it frees him up to put up better sack numbers, pressure numbers, and become that dominant interior defensive lineman.
If he is that guy, I think the question that we had previously, whether it's Davenport, Kaminsky, Pascal, Houston, it makes all of them better.
Yep.
Because DJ Reader will be an upgrade. Aleem McNeil if he has that breakout contract season, will be better. Aiden Hutchinson, I expect to be better, which puts less pressure on whoever that is. But and I think that's a great pick. I'm going to go with Jack Campbell. Now, there's a lot of people that didn't think he had a great rookie season. I thought it was much better than most people are talking about. In year two at the middle linebacker position, or linebacker position, because I know he's going to be sharing time in there or playing next to Anzalone, I think we see all that athletic ability that we heard about in the draft, at the combine. He's tall. I saw him play at Iowa a couple of times, and he was an absolute force. He's a smart, heady player. I think he makes the adjustments. I think he adjusts to the speed of the NFL. They use him as a pass rusher. They use him covering running backs out of the backfield. This is a guy that I think is going to pay off big and have a big-time year.
This was not a guy who was existing because of effort alone, although he has great effort and instincts. He was a plus athlete when he came out of the draft, and I think you're right, second season. That's Doug Karsh's guy, too.
Yeah.
You guys are big on Jack Campbell, breakout second season.
Yeah, you got to love those Iowa guys.
Listen.
Who can't argue with Laporta? And if Campbell can be even close to what he was at Laporta as a rookie, it's going to be fun to watch.
Hey, they're tough football players at Iowa. All right. Did we miss any key storylines? Which one is the most interesting to you? J-Mo, Hendon Hooker, kicker competition, defensive secondary, pass rush, and your breakout candidate. You can answer any of them. Tell us what we missed. Lions back at training camp today. Football returns. It's 97.1.
Hey, looking for ways to level up your fitness? Well, you can join the YMCA with no contract and no joiner fees and for just $3 a day. I'm loving all the YMCA has to offer, including access to indoor pools, Les Mills group fitness, hundreds of machines, discounts on personal training, which I'm taking full advantage of now, all with free child watch while you work out. And now you can go and try the Y for free. Visit any of the 7 Metro Detroit locations and get a free guest pass. Learn more at ymcadetroit.org and find your Y today.
As the Lions get set to begin training camp today, how about a shout out for Brad Holmes? Not that I need a particular reason. We're all really happy with the job he's done. This team is on the cusp of a Super Bowl. John, do you realize as the Lions show up to camp today, there are no holdouts.
Mm-hmm.
There's no drama. And when you look around the league today, if you were to look up NFL headlines, that's kind of part of what we do. We're putting together a show every day. You will see CeeDee Lamb holding out.
Not going to be there.
Jordan Love going to go to meetings, but not going to practice. Kind of a hold in, hold out situation. Tua Tagovailoa does not have a contract extension.
You're hearing from his mom now, too.
Tua's mom?
Yeah.
What's she saying?
Oh, she just, you know.
Hey, my son?
Yeah. Most people go to social media to make their statement. They're going to wipe their social media. He's got mom.
Is that the new thing? Rather than take the team out of your bio, you tell moms to throw a couple shots? Well, throw a little shade?
I mean, if your mom's got pull, why not?
You know, there was that article about those young people who are taking their moms to interviews with them.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? So they show to a job interview with their parents.
Uh-huh.
She's showing them clips and film. Yeah. How are you not going to pay my son? Look at this. You find a guy who can run the offense this way. No, but then it's not even just the fact that they don't have holdouts. It's that they got these deals done and they've already aged incredibly well. Darisaw, the Vikings, just got paid $1 million more than Penei Sewell. He's not better than Penei Sewell, but congrats, you got to pay him more. A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson have both gotten paid more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. CeeDee Lamb will probably get paid more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. So in addition to getting your guys paid, taking care of your guys, avoiding any headaches, everybody else either had to overpay or not have their guys out at practice. Brad Holmes ahead, as always, so just a moment for Brad Holmes. Shout out to him.
And that's where we had this discussion, I say we as a show, with Stoney and I last year, that I thought they should have re-upped Jared Goff at that time. Would have saved him some money. So now they're paying him not necessarily the premium that of the quarterback he is. He, at the time he signed it, he was the number two paid quarterback in the NFL. He's not the number two quarterback in the NFL. The number one quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. He's not the number one paid quarterback. Nope. So it's this leapfrog that you saw it with Darisaw. $1 million more than Penei Sewell. He's not better than Penei Sewell, but he's going to be paid more because that's the next contract. And now you're looking at Jordan Love. And this is where you got to love Love, right? It's just the fact that he is not a better quarterback in my mind than Jared Goff. Hasn't proven that. Maybe he will be eventually, but he's not yet. He's not better than Patrick Mahomes. He's not better than a lot of quarterbacks, but he's going to be paid more simply because they didn't get it done after the season was over. They didn't get it done after free agency, after the draft. They've strung this out, and now you're hearing that, oh, we're close. Well, if you were close, why couldn't you have gotten close 2 weeks ago?
Right.
What was going on that prevented you? That's why I love the fact that there's no drama. We don't have to sit there and think, well, do they really think Jared Goff is the answer? Well, maybe they don't. The contract's not done. Like, there's a lot of questions and debate that goes into it simply by it not being done. But the most important thing is, for us, Jordan Love is not on the practice field. It's good for us. It's bad for Jordan Love. It's bad for the Green Bay Packers. It's all of these things. So I don't understand how they can't focus on their quarterback and just get it done.
Grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a huge deal, but it's every
right
little
now,
thing that adds up.
How about a week from now?
I say in pursuit of a championship too, every little bit adds up.
Yeah.
Right? It's with one day that you get work that they don't get work. All this stuff adds up over the course of the offseason into the regular season. Some ticket text. We did Lion storylines with training camp kicking off. Text says, running back depth. Who steps up in that room if somebody goes down?
Well, that's going to be interesting. And one of the storylines that we didn't include is Sione Vaki.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about running back depth, he may be a guy that they, down the line, if Montgomery's hurt and Gibbs is hurt and Reynolds isn't on the team or is hurt, like, eventually you get down the list and you've got to have somebody carry the ball. But I'm curious, in terms of a storyline, he was an offensive and defensive player.
And running back.
Yeah, they drafted him as an offensive player, as a running back. But now you have this new kickoff rule. Like, does Dave Phipp and Dan Campbell see something, and are they planning something real cool, something we don't even know about yet?
Something I've admired about the way the Lions have done this is they've left no stone unturned. They paid Jalen Reeves-Maybin as a special teams ace. C.J. Moore is back in the fold, special teamer. Vaki is a fourth-round pick. His biggest contribution this year is probably
special
on special teams. But to the texter's point, if the running backs go down, if one of them gets hurt, he bumps up the depth chart. I think Craig Reynolds probably the three right now.
Yeah.
But you're a snap away from
TBD
being right there. Ticket Texter says, biggest concern going into camp is early health problems. Reader, Davenport, and Branch are all injured. So my big takeaway is stay healthy. The rest can fall into place. John, of the three guys on the pup, rank the concern level with each of them.
I think Davenport
is the most concerning.
Is the most concerning to me, because that's where you kind of want the most production, or at least your hopes are higher. I think DJ Reader will eventually, you know, whether it's week one or week three, he's going to be there and he's going to be a force. I think Brian Branch, I don't know how long he is out. I expect him to be ready by week one, and he is going to be dynamic in the secondary. The biggest question for me, the guy that's on the pup, is Marcus Davenport, because when he's healthy, 4 sacks in 4 games last year, he's had great production. The problem is he probably struggles in one of the biggest abilities, and that's availability.
Texter says, Cookies, how many sacks could Matt Chapman get for this team?
Should have signed a pass rusher. Should have signed a bat.
Should have added more.
Is that going to be a strike? How do we do it? Is that a first and long? Is that a sack? How are you going to penalize Brad Holmes?
So here's the thing: we can use balls and strikes, but Brad Holmes has already gotten on base a couple times over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's done enough.
He's
good.
A couple home runs. Yeah,
exactly. That the idea that he might get a strike for a bad move. I mean, all GMs are going to make a mistake. We both wanted them to get a pass rusher. It's the biggest need still on this team. It's not the same level of vitriol I have for what the Tigers have done, and frustrations for what the Tigers have done. Texter says, you guys covered just about everything. You forgot to talk about long snapper, though. So we're pretty thorough, John, but you left out long snapper.
Yeah, long snapper. It'll be all right. You know, whatever. Scott Daly.
Hey, John, how many catches did your beloved Michigan brethren DPJ have last season? If DPJ went anywhere except Michigan, you wouldn't have mentioned his name. Bet Kevin and Mac.
Okay, you can take your shots all you want. He has had seasons where he's been very productive. He had 61 catches in 22, and then everything dropped off in 23. He's not old, and I'm not expecting him to step in as wide receiver one, wide receiver two. Wide receiver three in there is going to be Laporta. The other one is going to be Gibbs. You already mentioned that. Way down the list is DPJ.
And the other question is, who else would you even say? Khalif Raymond? Antoine Green? I mean, Peoples-Jones is the most proven as a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, Khalif Raymond's a dynamic playmaker on special teams, but come on.
He's 25. He's 6'2". He's their biggest receiver.
Yeah.
So let's just see what happens.
All right. Speaking of seeing what happens, less than a week until the trade deadline. John, we have some updates on Tarek Skubal. Odds, quotes, and a trade proposal. Would you say yes? Next, 97.1. As the Lions get set to begin training camp today, how about a shout out for Brad Holmes? Not that I need a particular reason. We're all really happy with the job he's done. This team is on the cusp of a Super Bowl. John, do you realize as the Lions show up to camp today, there are no holdouts.
Mm-hmm.
There's no drama. And when you look around the league today, if you were to look up NFL headlines, that's kind of part of what we do. We're putting together a show every day. You will see CeeDee Lamb holding out.
Not going to be there.
Jordan Love going to go to meetings, but not going to practice. Kind of a hold in, hold out situation. Tua Tagovailoa does not have a contract extension.
You're hearing from his mom now, too.
Tua's mom?
Yeah.
What's she saying?
Oh, she just, you know.
Hey, my son?
Yeah. Wants his, you know, most people go to social media to make their statement. They're going to wipe their social media. He's got mom.
Is that the new thing? Rather than take the team out of your bio, you tell moms to throw a couple shots? Well, throw a little shade? I
mean, if your mom's got pull, why not?
You know, there was that article about those young people who are taking their moms to interviews with them.
Oh, that's right.
Remember? So they show up to a job interview with their parents.
Uh-huh.
She's showing them clips and film. Yeah. How are you not going to pay my son? Look at this. You find a guy who can run the offense this way. No, but then it's not even just the fact that they don't have holdouts. It's that they got these deals done and they've already aged incredibly well. Darisaw, the Vikings just got paid $1 million more than Penei Sewell. He's not better than Penei Sewell, but congrats, you got to pay him more. A.J. Brown and Justin Jefferson have both gotten paid more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. CeeDee Lamb will probably get paid more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. So in addition to getting your guys paid, taking care of your guys, avoiding any headaches, everybody else either had to overpay or not have their guys out at practice. Brad Holmes ahead, as always, so just a moment for Brad Holmes. Shout out to him.
And that's where we had this discussion, I say we as a show, with Stoney and I last year, that I thought they should have re-upped Jared Goff at that time. Would have saved him some money. So now they're paying him not necessarily the premium that of the quarterback he is. He, at the time he signed it, he was the number two paid quarterback in the NFL. He's not the number two quarterback in the NFL. The number one quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. He's not the number one paid quarterback. Nope. So it's this leapfrog that you saw it with Darisaw. $1 million more than Penei Sewell. He's not better than Penei Sewell, but he's going to be paid more because that's the next contract. And now you're looking at Jordan Love. And this is where you got to love Love, right? It's just the fact that he is not a better quarterback, in my mind, than Jared Goff. Hasn't proven that. Maybe he will be eventually, but he's not yet. He's not better than Patrick Mahomes. He's not better than a lot of quarterbacks, but he's going to be paid more simply because they didn't get it done after the season was over. They didn't get it done after free agency, after the draft. They've strung this out, and now you're hearing that, we're close. Well, if you were close, why couldn't you have gotten close 2 weeks ago?
Right.
What was going on that prevented you? That's why I love the fact that there's no drama. We don't have to sit there and think, well, do they really think Jared Goff is the answer? Well, maybe they don't. The contract's not done. Like, there's a lot of questions and debate that goes into it simply by it not being done. But the most important thing is, for us, Jordan Love is not on the practice field. It's good for us. It's bad for Jordan Love. It's bad for the Green Bay Packers. It's all of these things. So I don't understand how they can't focus on their quarterback and just get it done.
grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a huge deal, but it's every thing that adds up.
How about a week from now?
I say in pursuit of a championship too, every little bit adds up.
Yeah.
Right? It's with one day that you get work that they don't get work. All this stuff adds up over the course of the offseason and the regular season. Some ticket text. We did Lion storylines with training camp kicking off. Text says, running back depth. Who steps up in that room if somebody goes down?
Well, that's going to be interesting. And one of the storylines that we didn't include is Sione Vaki.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about running back depth, he may be a guy that they, down the line, if Montgomery's hurt and Gibbs is hurt and Reynolds isn't on the team or is hurt, like eventually you get down the list and you've got to have somebody carry the ball. But I'm curious in terms of a storyline, he was an offensive and defensive player.
And running back.
Yeah, they drafted him as an offensive player, as a running back. But now you have this new kickoff rule. Like, does Dave Phipp and Dan Campbell see something, and are they planning something real cool, something we don't even know about yet?
Something I've admired about the way the Lions have done this is they've left no stone unturned. They paid Jalen Reeves-Maybin as a special teams ace. CJ Moore is back in the fold, special teamer. Vaki is a fourth-round pick. His biggest contribution this year is probably special on special teams. But to the texter's point, if the running backs go down, if one of them gets hurt, he bumps up the depth chart. I think Craig Reynolds probably the three right now.
Yeah.
But you're a snap away from
TBD
being right there. Ticket texter says, biggest concern going into camp is early health problems. Reader, Davenport, and Branch are all injured. So my big takeaway is stay healthy. The rest can fall into place. John, of the three guys on the pup, rank the concern level with each of them.
I think it's Davenport.
Is the most concerning?
Is the most concerning to me, because that's where you kind of want the most production, or at least your hopes are higher. I think DJ Reader will eventually, you know, whether it's week one or week three, he's going to be there and he's going to be a force. I think Brian Branch, I don't know how long he is out. I expect him to be ready by week one, and he is going to be dynamic in the secondary. The biggest question for me, the guy that's on the pup, is Marcus Davenport, because when he's healthy, 4 sacks in 4 games last year, he's had great production. The problem is he probably struggles in one of the biggest abilities, and that's availability.
Texter says, Cookies, how many sacks could Matt Chapman get for this team?
Should have signed a pass rusher. Should have signed a bat.
Should have added more.
Is that going to be a strike? How do we do it? Is that a first and long? Is that a sack? How are you going to penalize Brad Holmes?
So here's the thing: we can use balls and strikes, but Brad Holmes has already gotten on base a couple times over, right? Yeah. I mean, he's done enough.
He's
good.
A couple home runs.
Yeah, exactly. That the idea that he might get a strike for a bad move. I mean, all GMs are going to make a mistake. We both wanted them to get a pass rusher. It's the biggest need still on this team. It's not the same level of vitriol I have for what the Tigers have done, and frustrations for what the Tigers have done. Texter says, you guys covered just about everything. You forgot to talk about long snapper, though. So we're pretty thorough, John, but you left out long snapper.
Yeah, long snapper. It'll be all right. You know, whatever. Scott Daly.
Hey, John, how many catches did your beloved Michigan brethren DPJ have last season? If DPJ went anywhere except Michigan, you wouldn't have mentioned his name. Bet Kevin and Mac.
Okay, you can take your shots all you want. He has had seasons where he's been very productive. He had 61 catches in 22, and then everything dropped off in 23. He's not old, and I'm not expecting him to step in as wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2. Wide receiver 3 in there is going to be Laporta. The other one is going to be Gibbs. You already mentioned that. Way down the list is DPJ.
And the other question is, who else would you even say? Khalif Raymond? Antoine Green? I mean, Peoples-Jones is the most proven as a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, Khalif Raymond's a dynamic playmaker on special teams, but come on.
He's 25. He's 6'2". He's their biggest receiver.
Yeah.
So let's just see what happens.
All right. Speaking of seeing what happens, less than a week until the trade deadline. John, we have some updates on Tarek Skubal. Odds, quotes, and a trade proposal. Would you say yes? Next, 97.1.